And we're holding on to Samach Vav Amud Beis by the Mishnah. From here on until almost the end of the Masechta, we're going to be dealing with. So now we've been dealing with Kiddushin, how a man and woman come together and get married. And eventually, Pasuk says, they're going to become one flesh, which Rashi says means through their children. So now we have to start talking about the din of children from various kinds of marriages. So from here till the end of the perek, and then most of the next perek, we're going to be dealing with such dinim about various kinds of marriages and various types of yuchsin, who's the definitions of them and who's kosher and who's posel love b'kohol. In Yevamos already we had a machlokas about the definition of a mamzer. So here this is going to kind of supplement that discussion. So the Mishnah says, "Kol makom sheyesh kiddushin ve'ein aveira." Any time when there's a couple where there's able to be kiddushin between them, and there's no aveira with those kiddushin. So a normal marriage between a Jewish man and a Jewish woman, havlad holach achar azachar. So then the din of the child, the status of the child, follows the father. Now, you actually have, of course, it could be possible there was no marriage at all. You could just have that a man and woman have relations. The child also follows the father. However, the Mishnah is not really addressing that. The Mishnah is going to be addressing cases where they're trying to get married. So in this case, they actually got married and there was no aveira in it. So then the child follows the father. The Ezozu, what are examples? What does that mean? Kehenes, Levi of Israel, Shenisu, the Kohen Levi of Israel. If a Bas Kohen, a Bas Levi, or a Bas Israel marries a Kohen Levi or Israel, all of those are all Mutal Hatchila, there's no Aveira in them. And therefore, so if the father is a Kohen, the child is a Kohen. If the father is a Levi, the father is a Levi, and so forth. There is an interesting point in the next perek. We're going to deal extensively with dinim about gerim. Now, of course, a ger is allowed to marry a bas yisrael. There is an interesting point there where Tosfos learns that even though a ger is perfectly allowed to marry a bas yisrael, the child actually also would be considered a ger like his father, following the rule of our Mishnah. So, in that case, that would mean. Excuse me. Since in the next parak we talk about that a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres, it comes out according to Tosfos, someone whose father was a ger and mother was a born Jew would also be allowed to marry a mamzeres. On the other hand, the Rambam disagrees with that, and that's not how it's brought lahalacha. Okay. Continues the Mishnah, v'chol makom sheyesh kiddushin v'yesh aveira, any place where kiddushin are able to be chal, but there is an aveira involved. As we're going to have examples in a minute, then havlad holach achar pogum. Then the child's status follows the pogum, the one who, whichever one among them has the defect in their yichus. The ezazu. What are examples of that? Zu amana l'koin gadol grusha v'chalutza l'koin hediot. For example, if a koin gadol marries an amana or a koin hediot marries a grusha v'chalutza, so then the child is not a koin; the child is a chol. Strictly speaking, actually, the Rambam points out in Pirush HaMishnayos, these are not examples of Avlad HaHulach Achar HaPogum, in the sense that it's not like the Almona herself or the Grush of a Chalutza herself is Pogum. But what we mean over here, this is part of the rule where there is an Aveira involved. Kedushin or Toifis, but nonetheless, the child doesn't follow his father's status, but rather a different status. So therefore, the Mishnah includes them all together. But then you have other examples. Mamzeres or Nesina Yisrael, if a Mamzeres or Nesina marries a Jewish man, a born Jew, or Bas Yisrael, the Mamzer or the Nosin, if a Jewish woman marries a Mamzer or a Nosin, so there's a lav in each of those cases, they're not allowed to get married, nevertheless, Kiddushin or Tofus, and in all those cases, the din is that the child goes according to the pogrom. Meaning, in other words, so if one of the parents is a mamzeres, or one of the parents is a nosin, if one of the parents is a mamzer or mamzeres, or one is a nosin or a nosina, then the child inherits that status, regardless whether it was the father or the mother. So those are all examples of the second case where have vlad ha'lachachar apogum. And there's a discussion whether it also applies to when the aveda is derabbanan. The Rama, one of the Rishonim, says that it goes according to the man in that case, but the Hamakna over here proves in several ways that it follows the pogrom. For one thing, we're saying over here chalutza l'koyin hedyet, where chalutza is only also derabbanan, and we're saying havlad ha'lachachar pogrom. So in other words, so now the result of that is, in other words, that a mamzer or a mamzeres, their status is going to be inherited throughout the generations. We're going to learn later on adaf samach tes, where the Mishnah suggests a way in which a mamzer is able, Reb Tarfon says that there a way in which a mamzer, a male mamzer, is able to be metaher his future children by marrying a shifcha and then freeing her. We'll talk about that in the Gemara Amdaf Samach Tes, Bez Hashem. For a woman mamzeres, even Reb Tarfon's method wouldn't work because it doesn't help. The child of an eved doesn't follow his father's status. The child of a shivcha, as we're going to learn, does. So, for that reason, but be that as it may, the status of mamzer basically gets transmitted from generation to generation. Next, the third rule. Now the third group is women where it's not possible to do kiddushin with her, but it's possible for her to have kiddushin with somebody else. So in other words, let's say, for example, a man's mother or sister or daughter or any of the other 20 or so arayas. If a man is mekadosh his sister or his mother or his aunt or any of the other ones, kiddushin are not tofus. However, that same woman would perfectly be able to do kiddushin with somebody else. So then the rule is, havlad mamzer, then the child of such a union is a mamzer. The eza zeh, what does that mean? Zeh ha-bo alachas v'kol ha-arayas shebat Torah. A man has relations with any of the arayas in the Torah, so kiddushin are not tofus in the first place. And the child from it would be a mamzer. Tosfos points out, now in Yevamos, we had a multi-way machlokas about that. We had a little bit about it in the Gemara the other day. What kinds of unions produce a mamzer? We had Rabbi Akiva's opinion that even Chayve Lavin produced one. And we said in the Gemara over there, one way of understanding Rabbi Akiva is to say he means even Chayve Esse, which we'll talk about in the Gemara over here. Then you have Shimon Atimni, who says that it's any case where there's krisis or missus based in, which means all the arayas, because all the arayas are chayav koris. And then you actually have the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, who says that only ones that are chayav missus based in. Given that, Tosfos says, we have here a stam mishnah like Shimon Atimni, that indicates that halacha is like him. So therefore, the rule would be, what produces a mamzer, any kind of relation between a man and a woman where there's an isur kores or misas based in involved. Not like Rabbi Yeshua says only misas based in, which would mean therefore only an ashes ish and some of the arayas. Not like to the other extreme, Rabbi Akiva, who says that it includes even chayve laban and maybe even chayve eser, but rather like Shimon Atimni, who says it includes all the arayas, all of them are chayev kores, and some of them in addition are chayev misas based in. Any of those, kedushin aren't tofus, and the child will be a mamzer. So that's the third group of relationships of our Mishnah. Then the fourth group, the Mishnah says, v'chomish ein lo loy olav loy al achirim kiddushin. Then you have a woman where it's impossible for him to do kiddushin with her, and it's also impossible for anybody else. She's not shayach to the whole concept of kiddushin. Then havlad kemoisa. Then the child follows her status. Meaning the Eza Zez, the Vlad Shivcha v'nochris, that would be the child of a Shivcha or of a Goita. So if a Jewish man has relations with a Shivcha or with a Goita, then the child is an Eved or a Goy, respectively. So the child, for example, Rashi says in this case, the child would be a goy. If you're megayer him, then he's a ger. He's not. So for example, if a ger were to be over, now a ger, we're going to talk about later on Daf Samach Tes, we're going to talk about Reb Tarfon says that a ger would be able in this one case to marry a shivcha in order that his children at least will be kosher, because then they'll be avodim. And then when he frees them, then there's no more status of mamzer on them. They're just regular avodim meshuchrarim, regular Jews like any other. On the other hand, we're going to see in the mission over there that there's another that Rabbi Eliezer disagrees and says that won't work. But by the same token, if the mamzer were to be over and marry a goita, now in that case, that would be an outright aver. Even Rabbi Taufen wouldn't allow it. Nevertheless, the fact is the child would be a goy, and then if we're megayer the child, then he becomes a regular Jew like any other Jew. So the Gemara starts up. Kol makom sheyesh kiddushin. So we said any place where in any case where there is kiddushin and there's no aveira, meaning a regular marriage between a Jewish man and a woman, where there's no impediment to their marriage. So then we said the child goes after the father's status. So Amalei Reb Shimon l'Reb Yechanan. So Reb Shimon, which is B'pashtos, Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Rish Lakish, asks Reb Yechanan, klalahu, is that an absolute rule? Is that always a hard and fast rule? Consider the case of a ger who marries a mamzeres. And we're going to learn in the next perek that Rabbi Yossi holds that he is allowed to do that. The pasuk says lo yovim mamzer b'kav Hashem. Rabbi Yossi holds that that gerim are not included in the kohol. So a ger is perfectly allowed to marry a mamzeres. D'yesh kiddushin ve'ein avera. So there's kiddushin al chal. There's certainly nothing preventing the kiddushin from being chal, because even for a regular yid to marry a mamzeres is only an isur lav, not an isur kores or misas beistin. And for a ger, again, we're saying that according to Rav Yossi, it's completely mutter. Ve'ein avera. So according to him, there's no avera in it at all. Havlad her l'chachra pogum, and yet the din is the child follows the pogum. In this case, because the mother is a mamzeres, because the ger's wife is a mamzeres, therefore the children are mamzerim as well. D'tanya, as in fact we learn in a brayse, ger shenosa mamzeres havlad mamzer divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that if a ger marries a mamzeres, then the child is a mamzer. By the way, the girsa we have in front of us over here, ger shenosa mamzeres, is the maharshal. The original girsa was ger noise mamzeres vehavlad mamzer, which would imply more lachatchila that he could marry a mamzeres even lachatchila. There's no problem with it. However, the child is a mamzer. Marshal changed it to ger shen nosa mamzeres, implying that it's only b'dieved. Marshal points out that there's no reason to say that. Rabbi Yossi is not saying that only b'dieved that it's only b'dieved that a ger can marry a mamzeres. He would say lachatchila he could marry her. So the correct gerusa should be ger noise mamzeres v'havlad mamzer. A ger can lachatchila marry a mamzeres. However, you should be aware the child is a mamzer. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So according to Rabbi Yossi, the first case of our Mishnah is not an absolute rule. You have at least one exception to it. So Rabbi Yochanan answers him back. Mi sabret masnisin Rabbi Yossi. You're thinking our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yossi? No, masnisin Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that and says that a ger is not allowed to marry a mamzeres. According to him, that would be the example. That would be a case of the second part of the Mishnah, yesh kiddushin v'yesh avera, where kiddushin are tofes, but there is an avera involved. So sure, avlad her l'chachar pogum. But yes, it's true. Rabbi Yossi would disagree. Fine, the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yossi. So it's not a contradiction to say, it's not a contradiction that Rabbi Yossi holds different. So he says that ger is not allowed to marry a mamzeres. So therefore, v'yesh kiddushin v'yesh avera. So here you have kiddushin. There is also an avera, though. Havlad her l'chachra pogum. So therefore, the vlad follows the pogum. So our Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda. The question is, though, the Nisnie. So Taka, why doesn't the Mishnah mention this as the Mishnah had said that Mishnah, when it said that second part, Yesh Kiddushin, Yesh Avera, Avlad Her Lachachra Pogum, so we gave several examples. Amon Lekoin Godo, Grusha Vachalutz Lekoin Hedyet, Mamzeras and Nasin Le Yisrael, Bas Yisrael, Mamzer and Nasin. If you're telling me the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, then why doesn't it list this as well? That Rabbi Yehuda said that, why doesn't it list this as well? A Ger marries a Mamzeras, so a Mamzer marries a Giyoris. So why doesn't the Mishnah list it? And the answer is Tana Kol Mokum. The answer is Tana Kol Mokum, the Sefer La'asuyi. Because in the Sefer, in the second part of the Mishnah, the Mishnah in fact says Kol Mokum Sheyesh Kiddushin V'Yesh Aveira. So fine, La'asuyi, it comes to include this example as well. It's true the Mishnah doesn't have to list every single example. And the point is, Tosfos explains now the Gemara accepts that answer because the fact is, why is it according to Rabbi Yehuda a ger is also to marry a mamzer, so a ger is to marry a mamzer? Because he holds, when we say that a mamzer is not allowed to marry into Kahal Hashem, he holds Kahal Hashem includes gerim as well. So once he says that Yisrael is not allowed to marry a Mamzeres, then automatically that includes a Ger is also not allowed to marry a Mamzeres. So it's true, you do have to say Kol Mokum, so you don't think that, so you don't think otherwise, but nevertheless, once it says Kol Mokum, then that's good enough, it didn't have to say it Befeirish. The boy same a lot ulam Rabbi Yosi. Another answer you could say, that maybe the Mishnah does follow Rabbi Yosi after all. V'tana ezu zu l'mo'uti. So, fakir, when the Mishnah says, Ezu Zu, what is this case? Okay, Hennes Levi of Yisraelis, who marries a Kohen Levi of Yisrael, Lama'uti means comes to exclude other cases that are not mentioned. So you're right. In the first category of the Mishnah, the case where Yesh Kiddushin Ve'ein Aveira Havlad Her L'Chachar HaZachar, the Mishnah says, Ezuzu, specifically what are those cases, and list the case of a Kohen Levi of Israelis who marries a Kohen Levi of Israel. So in other words, we could answer that part of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yosi. What the Mishnah means is, you should know, what are the case among the cases where Yesh Kiddushin Ve'en Avera, where the Vlad HaZachar is only the ones we listed in the Mishnah, not any others. Ezuzu, what are the ones? Only the ones we're listing over here. It is true that there are other ones that Yesh Kiddushin Ve'en Aveira, where the child follows the pogrom, an example of that being a ger who marries a mamzeres according to Rabbi Yosi. So you could, after all, say that the Mishnah does go according to Rabbi Yosi. Well, the Gemara asks, if you're going to tell me Ve'ezuzu, the two lois, you're telling me wherever it says Ve'ezuzu means there's no other. What about the case of a cholol who marries a bas yisrael? So now the diyesh kiddushin ve'en avera. Again, there is kiddushin. There's no avera involved because there's nothing wrong with a cholol marrying a bas yisrael, and yet havlad and have vlad her lechacher azacher, and the child goes according to the Zohar, where he becomes a cholol as well. So when the Mishnah is saying here are the cases where Yesh Kiddushin Ve'en Aveira and where Havlad Her L'Chachar HaZachar, and we listed Kehenes Levi of Yisraelis that married a Kohen Levi of Yisrael. So according to that, if the Mishnah is saying Ve'ezuzu, and you're telling me in our second answer that Ve'ezuzu means those are the only ones and there are no others, but here we have another one. So therefore we have another example of such a thing. So why would the Mishnah be saying Ve'ezuzu as if to exclude that? And Tosfos points out that it's not, you could argue that after all, there you could argue that, look, after all, once the Cholol marries the Bas Yisrael, she becomes a Cholola as well. You could argue then that then the reason the child is a Cholol is maybe following his mother, not his father, or following the pogrom, not just his father. But Tosfos proves that not. If a Yisrael marries a Cholola, then their daughter would be allowed to marry a Kohen. So you see that you don't go according to the pogrom in that case. So if you so again, if we use our first answer that if we use our first answer that we didn't address the words ezuzu and ezuzu is not necessarily meant to exclude other cases, okay, so we could say the Mishnah mentioned some cases and it didn't mention all of them. But if you're trying to say that you want to make the Mishnah work according to Rabbi Yossi, and therefore you have to say that ezuzu means specifically these cases and no others, then what about your chol shenos abas Yisrael? And the Gemara answers, "Holei kasha, that's not such a problem." Could have destroyed, but Rabbi Yehuda svirul, ben Rabbi Yehuda svirul, because we could say that the Tana of our Mishnah holds that Rabbi destroyed, but ben Rabbi Yehuda, which we learned a few days ago, and we're going to learn in more detail in the next parak. He holds that if a cholol marries a bas Yisrael, the child is kosher to marry a kohen. So therefore, so in fact, it doesn't follow the father, even though the father was a cholol. Nevertheless, the child is actually kosher. So that the Tana of our Mishnah can hold like him. And therefore, indeed, the words ezuzu in the first category of the Mishnah can be excluding a cholol shenasa bas Yisrael, because in fact, in that case, the child doesn't follow the father. It does have different dinim. So then we could say, in other words, so we have two examples where Yesh Kiddushin ve'ein Aveira and the rule of our Mishnah doesn't apply. One, where a ger marries a mamzeres, where the child is still a mamzer rather than following his father. Two, where a cholol marries a bas Yisrael and the child is not a cholol, but rather is if it's a daughter, is kosher to marry a kohen. So fine, we could say the words ezuzu in our Mishnah mean to say, of all the possible cases of Yesh Kiddushin ve'ein Aveira, you have only the ones that we say in the Mishnah over here are Havlad HaLachach HaZachar, but it is true there are certain other ones where that rule doesn't apply. And in fact, Tosfos says, now the Gemara didn't just say that, Kol Mokum maybe includes that, because then the Gemara would have asked that it should have said it Befeirush. Okay. So the Gemara asks, so therefore, you could say, So you have a case, in other words. So again, according to the story, but of Yehuda, then in that case, the child. So this is another case where Yesh Kiddushin ve'ein Aveira, and nevertheless, the child doesn't follow the father. Well, the Gemara asks, "V'hare Yisrael shenasa chalala." What about the other way around? What about Yisrael who marries a chalala? Again, the yesh kiddushin ve'ein avera. There is kiddushin. There's no avera because again, there's no problem. A kohen's not allowed to marry a chalala, but a Yisrael is allowed to. By the way, throughout this Gemara, when we say throughout these dinim of yuchsin, for the most part, when we say Yisrael, we also mean a lady, because as far as the dinim of marriage, there's really no difference between them. Only as far as other areas of halacha are there differences. Anyway, Yisrael marries a chalala. The yesh kiddushin ve'ein avera. There is kiddushin. There's no avera in Yisrael marrying chalala and havlad her l'chachar azachar. And there you do have the child follows the man. So in other words, what are you telling me that the Mishnah means when it says ve'ezuzu means to exclude any other cases, but you have another case that the Mishnah didn't mention where havlad her l'chachar azachar. The answer is Tana kol mokum deresha la'asuye. Fine, but the kol mokum at the beginning comes to include such a case. Well, the Gemara asks v'nisniya behedya. Well, then in that case, the Mishnah should mention it b'feirush. And the answer is Bishum Delay Masnulay. There's no way to say it in a short, pithy way like you say the other ones. A Tana, of course, especially the Mishnayos were originally learned Baal Peh. So you want to be able to say things in a derech tzara, to be able to say it in a short loshen that the Talmidim can easily memorize. And if you throw in a Yisrael who marries a Chalala, you're not going to have a simple way of saying it. Because Heichi Nisni, how would you say it? You can't. The fact is, a chalola can't marry a kohen. So therefore, so if we had to mention Yisrael shenasa chalola, we would have had to write it separately. And therefore, the Tana didn't want to mention it. The Tana wants to just mention in brief the cases where one is allowed to marry the other, and therefore he couldn't include a Yisrael who married a halala then it wouldn't be so easy to include it. And in that case, of course, that includes some of the other cases that we mentioned before. You could say the same thing. For example, a ger shenasa mamzeres is not necessarily mentioned befeirush for the same reason, because you can't say kohen shenasa geyoras, because a kohen is not allowed to marry a geyoras. You certainly, nobody's allowed to marry a mamzeres. So you have that also. So that would explain why some of these things were just including within the word kol makom to include them befeirush would make the Mishnah long and unwieldy. Okay, so far so good then. However, the Gemara asks, "Va'ika de Rabba Baba Chana." What about the din that Rabba Baba Chana said? Now, we talked about the other day that you have certain kinds of gerim where the Torah tells us a ger from Mitzrayim or from Edom is not allowed. They or their children are not allowed to love a bakal, so they can only marry gerim or mamzerim or what have you. Eventually, the third generation, the grandson of the original ger or geyoras, is allowed to. Up until that point, there's an isser esser on them marrying into the Jewish people. So Rabbi Baba Chana says, the Amar Rabbi Baba Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Mitzri Sheni Shenosim Mitzri Shishonim. Suppose that a second generation Mitzri Ger marries a first generation Mitzris. So Tom, a Mitzri, was Nisgayer. He eventually married a fellow Giyotis, and they had a son, and they had a son Avraham. Now this Avraham was born a Yid. However, his parents are both Gerim. His father was a ger from Mitzrayim. His mother, for this purpose, we don't care about. Then Avraham, being a second generation Mitzri ger, he goes and marries Sarah, who herself became a geyoras. She herself is from Mitzrayim, and she herself became a geyoras. So Rabbi Baba Chana says b'no shlishi habim. So Rabbi Baba Chana says that the child would be considered a shlishi, and therefore he's already allowed to marry a bas yisrael. This is an example of yesh kiddushin ve'ein aveira. Again, there's no aveira involved. So the child follows the mother, and we say therefore that follows the father. The father being a sheni, then the child is a shlishi. Now, Rashi points out, if it was a regular Yisrael who married this mitzvah, if it was a regular Yisrael who married the Sarah, or if Avraham married a regular Yisraelis, then that would be the second category of our Mishnah, Yesh Kiddushin V'Yesh Aveira. So then, sure, we would say the child has the din of a mitzri as far as that. But now, we're talking about a mitzri and a mitzvah. There's no Isser in the marrying. So, and here we say that he actually follows the father, and he's allowed to marry, and therefore the child would be allowed to marry a bas yisrael. Tosfos also points out that now you do have a case that we're going to discuss in the Gemara later on. You can say holochacha psula. Well, actually, we mentioned in the Mishnah the third category or the second category. We have vlad holochacha pogum, but here we're both of them in a sense a pogum because they're both respectively a first and second generation mitzvi, and neither of them is also lover b'kohol. Then you're back to the first category of our Mishnah of yesh kiddushin ve'ein aveira. Anyway, the point is that. The point is, there is another example of the first category of our Mishnah, where yesh kiddushin v'yesh aveira, where yesh kiddushin v'ein aveira, and we were saying before that the Mishnah's lashon ezu zu is memayet other cases. So why should we be memayet a case like this? So the answer is tana kol makom dereisha la'asuri. Again, the kol makom in the beginning of the Mishnah comes to include such a case. And you also, again, you know, we can't say that it should say it befeirush, because again, it would make the Mishnah unwieldy. You can't say that a Koyan Levi Yisraelis, etc., who married a Mitzri Sheni, because of course, they're not allowed to marry a Mitzri Sheni. Okay, the Gemara asks, Ulur of Dimi de Omar, now Ulur of Dimi de Omar Sheni Havi. Now, what about, though, according to Dimi, who disagrees with Rabbi Baba Chana, and he says in this case of Avraham, the second generation Mitzri, marrying Sarah, the first generation Mitzris, he says the child would be a Sheni, that he follows the mother in that case. Um, so, uh, And Rashi explains that Rav Dimi is going to learn that from the fact the Pasuk says, Bonim asher yivoldu lahem dor shlishi. The Pasuk says, children who are born to them, the third generation, yavo lahem b'tal Hashem, implying that it depends on the birth. Since this child was born to Sarah, the first generation mitzris, so then he inherits his mother's status, so he becomes the second generation mitzri, like his father. So according to Rav Dimi, that's how it is. So then, according to him, you'd have to say Tana Ezuzu Lamoti. So according to him, you're right. The Ezuzu of our Mishnah comes to in the first category of our Mishnah comes to exclude that. So either according to Rabbi Baba Chana or according to Rav Dimi, the Mishnah is using wording. The Mishnah is saying Kol Mokum to include certain cases that weren't mentioned, but it's also using Ezuzu to exclude certain cases that weren't mentioned. And the argument is just going to be what's included and what's excluded. Okay, the Gemara asks, here's one more. Va'ika d'chi osa Ravin Amar. What about, here's another one. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he said, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, here's a rule, ba'umas holoch achar azachar, when it comes to goyim, you follow, if a goy from one nation marries a goyta from a different nation, then holoch achar azachar, then again, we go according to the man. So for example, that will be relevant. We're going to talk about on Omud Beis, for example, if a man from another nation marries a woman from the seven nations of Canaan, then the child is not considered to be from one of the seven nations. So as long as they're goyim, then you go according to the zachar. This is gairu, but then Ravin continues. If they become gairim, then you follow whichever one is more pogrom, whichever one has the greater defect. For example, let's say you have a man from Ammon marries a woman from Mitzrayim. Now let's consider. The Torah tells us male gairim from Ammon are never even them and their children and so forth, and all the generations, all the males are not allowed love of a couple. They're never allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. On the other hand, we know famously Ammoni v'lay Ammonis, Ma'ovi v'lay Ma'ovis. So if a man from Ammon, who's the more pogrom because he and his sons and grandsons and so forth can never marry into the kahal. If he marries a mitzvah where only two generations are osir and after that will be mutter, then the din is that now if when Ammoni becomes a ger and marries a mitzvah who is a geirus, then the din is going to be the children are going to follow the Ammoni. They're going to have the din of Ammonim rather than the din of Mitzrayim. So according to that, so Tana Ezozu Lamooti. So again, now there's no Isser in their marriage. They're both Gerim. They're perfectly allowed to get married. And the answer is again, the Ezozu would come to exclude that. Okay. Now though, the Gemara says, So what are we saying so far? So now we've said that throughout our Mishnah, when you have the words Kol Mokum comes to include certain cases that were not mentioned in the Mishnah, and Ezuzu comes to exclude certain cases also not mentioned in the Mishnah. Kol Mokum will mean that even though so here's another example of a marriage which is in this category, and nevertheless, and the din is like it says in our Mishnah, in that respective category. We didn't list it for whatever reason, for example, because it would make the Mishnah long and unwieldy. And then we're saying Ezuzu comes to say that in each one of these categories, you have ones where there is something that fits that category. However, the din is different than our Mishnah, and that's what the Ezuzu comes to say. Don't think that in that case, the halacha is like that. Rather, Ezuzu, only the ones we're mentioning in the Mishnah are included, not certain other ones. So we use that. So at the top of the Amud then, we said, when we have the case of Gerush and Nosa Mamzeres, then we said there's two, and that's an example of the first category of the Mishnah, because Yesh Kiddushin Ve'en Aveira. Nevertheless, we said the child follows the pogrom, which is the din of the second category. So we asked, how is that? So first we said the Mishnah might not be like Rabbi Yossi, who holds that they're mutter to marry, but rather like Rabbi Yehuda, who says they're aser, and therefore it would fit. But then the second answer was, We said that the words Ezuzu in our Mishnah come to exclude that, and that even so the Mishnah could work according to Rabbi Yossi, and Ezuzu means even though I've given you a rule called Mokum Shiesh Kedushin Ve'en Avera Havlad Ho'lachachar Azachar, but nevertheless here is an exception to that rule. So now the Gemara is going to revisit that. So, hi, my, what kind of an answer is that? If you say that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, then very good. Then you can say, then the kol makam of the first category of the Mishnah, where there are kedushin and the kedushin are completely mutter, and we say the child goes after the father. So the kol makam would be lasuya yisrael shenasa halala. That would include the case of a yisrael who married a halala, where their child is kosher like the father, and also. And it would also include Rabbi Baba Chana's case of a Mitzri Sheni who marries a Mitzri Sushona, where the child follows the father and becomes a Mitzri Shlishi. And you would say, Ezuzu, Lamauti did Rabdimi. And the Ezuzu would be to tell us, not like Rabdimi, that the Mishnah would be telling us that the Mishnah would be telling us that no, a Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzri Sushona, Rabdimi is saying the child inherits the mother's status. So the Mishnah would be telling us that. The Mishnah would be saying either one or the other. Either the Tana of our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Baba Chana, and that case is included in Kol Makom, or he holds like Rabdimi, and the Ezuzu comes to exclude that case and say that that case is an exception to the rule. Even though Yesh Kedushin V'Yesh Aveda, nevertheless we follow the pogrom rather than following the father. The Ravin, and also we would say the Mishnah is also coming to exclude Ravin's din about the case of an Ammoni who marries a Mitzvah, or an Ammoni who becomes a Ger and marries a Mitzvah who's a Geirus. Actually, it doesn't really matter whether they married before or after they're Geirus. Whatever the point is, that Ravin is saying that even though again that's a marriage that's completely mutter, the child goes according to the pogrom. So fine, again the Ezuzu. Would be coming to say that's true. However, we in the Mishnah are not addressing that point. And furthermore, we would say kol makom de sefer lasuya gerush nasa mamzeres, and then the kol makom and the sefer would come to include the case of the ger who marries a mamzeres, where again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, such a marriage is aser. Therefore, it belongs in the second category. And even though the Mishnah didn't mention beferish, it's included with the words kol makom. So all of that works very nicely. If you say that the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, then you understand what each Kol Makom and what each Ezazer comes to be excluding or comes to be including or excluding. But if you want to try to make the Mishnah go according to Rabbi Yosi, and we said before that you can do that by saying that the words Ezuzu in the Reisha, in the first category of the Mishnah, are coming to say that Ger Shenosa Mamzeres is an exception to this rule. Even though it's mutter, the child doesn't go according to the father, but rather according to the father. The problem with that is, Kol Makom D'Reisha Kedam Moran, fine, the first Kol Makom, like we said, that'll include the case of a Yisrael who married a Halala, Ezuzu Kedam Moran, and the Ezuzu of the end of the Reisha will again be, like we said, it comes to exclude either Ravin's or Rav Dimi's din, as well as the case of a Ger who married a Mamzeres. But you would have to ask, if you say that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yosi, what's the Kol Makom of the second category coming to include? What is there another case of Yesh Kiddushin, the Yesh Avera, where have Vlad Holachachara Pogum, like you have in the Mishnah? If you say the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, then you're including Gerish and Osam Amzeres. But according to Rabbi Yosi, a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeres. He belongs in the first category. So then what is the Kol Makom and the Sefer coming to include? So the Gemara answers back. According to your svara that you're even asking the question, so you'd have to ask, if you make the Mishnah go according to Rabbi Yehuda, then what is the Ezuzu of the second category coming to include? We explained according to him what the Kol Makom of the Reisha comes to include, and what the Ezuzu of the Reisha comes to exclude, and we explain according to him what the Kol Makom of the Sefer comes to include. But we don't have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have anything that the Ezuzu of the Sefer comes to exclude. There's no other case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where you have Kedushin and there is Avera, where we say there's an exception and the Vlad has a different status than you otherwise would have said. Always, according to him, you're going to have that the Vlad Holachachar Pogum. So therefore, so after all, Ella, I did Tana Resha Ezuzu, Tana Sefer Ezuzu. You have to say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the only reason it says Ezuzu in the second category is because it said it in the first, and therefore we want to keep the Mishnah parallel. Well, then the same thing according to Hachanami, the same thing. If you want to make the Mishnah, go according to Rabbi Yossi, I did Tana Resha, Kolmokum Tananami Sefer Kolmokum. Then you could say that the Sefer says Kolmokum because the Resha did, but not that necessarily in the Sefer is Kolmokum meant to include anything. So it comes out, in other words, that so it comes out if we say the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, then the Kol Mokum of the Reisha is including other cases where have Vladimir Lachachar Azachar. The Ezer Zu of the Reisha is coming to exclude and say, even though there are certain cases where Yesh Kedushin the Ein Avera, nevertheless the child doesn't go after the Zachar but rather has a different status. The Kol Mokum of the Sefer would be saying that even though we're saying over here that everywhere where Yesh Kedushin, V'yesh Avera, and we're listing a bunch of cases, we have Vladher L'chacha Pogum, nevertheless, here's other examples I didn't mention. They're included in Kol Mokum. And then the Ezuzu is not really excluding anything. It's just there for parallelism. If we say the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yossi, then we say that the Kol Mokum in the Reisha comes to include other cases. We have Vladher L'chacha Azachar. The Ezer Zu of the Reisha is coming to exclude again cases where there is kiddushin and no avera, and yet the child follows the pogrom. Continuing, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Kol Mokum and the Sefer is not adding anything. That's there just for parallelism, and the Ezuzu and the Sefer is also not necessarily adding anything. We're just saying that according to that, then both in the Sefer, the Kol Mokum and the Ezuzu are just there for parallelism. Okay, so but the Mishnah can be made to work according to either one of them. So when we discuss in the next parak the concept of whether a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres or not, our Mishnah could be according to the opinion that it is, and it could that he is allowed to, and it could be in which cases in the first category, and it could be worked out according to the opinion that he's also to, which would place them in the second category. Either way, the din is that if a ger marries a mamzeres, then the child is considered a mamzer. He inherits the status from his mother. The Gemara says, Gufa. Getting back to what we said before, Ki Osa Ravin Omar, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. He said, Ba'umas Holach Achar Azachar, when two Goyim marry from different nations, then the din is we follow the Zachar. So in other words, and we're going to figure out now what the nafkamina of that is. Nisgairu Holach Achar Pogum Shebashneim, and if the couple become Geirim, then the child, and we have to be talking about, by the way, a child who's born after their gerus. If the child is born before they become gerim, then of course the child is born as a goy as well. And when he becomes a ger, then he has whatever din of the nationality he comes from. But so here we're saying when the couple become gerim and then they have a child later, holachacha pogum shebishneim, then you go according to which one is more pogum. So my ba'umas holachacha azachar. What do we mean this din that among goyim you go according to the man? What halacha is that relevant to? So really the question is twofold, Rashi explains. Number one, what halacha is that relevant? And number two, how do we know that? So Kedetanya, we learn in a Braisa, Minayin la'echad min ha'umas shabal ha'knanis. How do we know if a member of one of the other nations, not one of the seven nations of Canaan, if he had relations with or married a Canaanis? Now we know the Torah tells us the seven nations of Canaan, Lo Yisachaya Kol Neshama, the Jewish people come into Eretz Yisrael, they have to wipe them out. The question is, who is considered among the seven nations of Canaan for this purpose? So suppose a man from some other nation, suppose a man from Syria or wherever comes into Eretz Yisrael and marries a Canaanis, Vahulid Ben, and he has a son. How do we know Shatar Ashoy L'Knoise Be'Eved? You would be allowed to buy that son as an Eved Canaani. We don't say that he's one of the seven nations of Canaan, and therefore you have to destroy him. Talmud Loima, the Pasuk says, V'gam mibnei ha'teshovim ha'gorim imachem, also from the children of the residents who live among you, mehem tiknu, from them you're allowed to buy them, those children, as avodim. So therefore, so we see it. In other words, we're talking about a goy who came, So Rashi explains like this. The previous pasuk says, actually, the previous pasuk says, the abdecha va'amoscha asher yuloch, if you have an eved or an omer, me'es ha'goyim asher sviseichem, from among the nations that surround you, so mehem tiknu eved va'omer, you're allowed to buy an eved or an omer from them, meaning, in other words, you'd be allowed to, for example, you'd be allowed to buy a goy from Syria or Ammon or Moav or Edom or any other surrounding nation, you'd be allowed to buy him as an eved. There's no problem of loisachaya kol neshama. So now the pasuk is continuing. V'gam, and also mibnei ateshavim agorim imachem, from among the ones who live among you in Eretz Yisrael. So we're saying, even though you have this couple is living in Eretz Yisrael, and on the face of it, you're going to say, wait, they're from the seven nations. But no, the father is not from the seven nations. He's from some other nation. Therefore, the children follow him, and therefore you're allowed to buy them as an eved. Therefore, you're allowed to buy them as an eved kanani, and you're allowed to keep them alive. You don't have to wipe them out. Continues the Braisa. Yochol af eved shabal shivcha mina umus. Now you would think the same thing applies the other way around. If an eved marries a shivcha from the umus, on the side over here it says really the girsa should maybe be a knani shabal achas, because we're not specifically talking about an eved and a shivcha. We're talking about the other way around. A knani man who goes and marries a woman from some other country. Maybe over here it's using the word eved in the sense of, because after all, knan, eved avodim yelechav, so we're using the word eved over here as a generic term for knan. Whatever the case, the point is, you would think the other way around. If a knani man goes and marries a woman from some other nation, v'holed ben, and he has a son, shatir asher l'knosav eved, you would think you're allowed to buy that child as an eved, that son as an eved. No, tamad lo masher hilidu ba'aretzchem, because the pasuk continues, who are you allowed to buy? The ones that had children in your land, meaning it only applies to the ones who were born in your land, meaning the mother, that the mother is a Knanis. The assumption is, in other words, that the assumption is that the father from some other nation is going to have come to Eretz Yisrael and had relations with a goita over there with a Knani woman, and then the child would stay with it. So now the child would be born in Eretz Yisrael, but then he goes outside Eretz Yisrael to live with his to live with his father. So he was born in your land, meaning because his mother is a Knania and he was born in Eretz Yisrael, but now but his father comes from elsewhere. Not the other way around, where the mother comes from some other nation and now he came to Eretz Yisrael to live with his father. So even though his father is the father is a Knani, and therefore we say he follows his father. So even though this child may have been born outside Eretz Yisrael because his mother was from some other nation, nevertheless his father was a Knani and he's living with his father in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he's one of the seven nations. And you can't buy him as an Eved Knani, because instead you have Lo Yisachaya Kol Neshama. So that's what we mean. That's what we mean when we say that ba'umas holochachra zachar, that whether the father is a Knani, whether the mother is a Knani, the rule is you always go according to the father as far as establishing the identity of the child. Next, Rabbi Yochanan had said, Robin had reported in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, in the second part of the rule, nisgayru holochachra pogum shebishneihem. We said if they become geirim, then you follow whichever one has the defect in their yichus. So what are we talking about? Rashi explains, you can't say as far as the question of whether they can be avodim or not, because once they become gerim, the only difference you don't have a difference except for four nations, Ammon, Moab, Mitzrayim, and Edom. Then you don't have any difference once a person becomes a ger, that there should be any difference between one nation and another. An interesting point is there is some discussion of the question whether the seven nations of Canaan are able to become gerim, or rather, if they become gerim, does the concept of loisachaya kol neshama go away? Maybe you still have a mitzvah to kill them because they are from the seven nations of Canaan. The way Rashi is phrasing it over here, where he says, He mentions that l'inyan avdus lek lamemenis gairu. He says, as far as being avodim, you can't speak of them becoming gairim. It's only relevant as far as yuchsin. Does that mean that Rashi is saying that once they become gairim, the issur of loisachaya kol neshama goes away? Or does he mean just maybe the issur of loisachaya still exists? But the point is, you can't talk about buying them as an eved because he's already a Yisrael. So there is some discussion among the Rishonim about that point. There is some discussion about that point, whether if a Knani becomes a ger, does the issur of loisachaya kol neshama go away? Certainly, before the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, there's no question they could. We find that Rachel, who was from the seven nations, became a Geyoris, but that's because she already accepted it before. She already recognized Hashem as the supreme power when the Meraglim came to her that one night before the Jews even crossed the Yarden. Once they cross the Yarden, then you have this machlokas whether they can become Geirim. If they become Geirim, if Lois Achayah Kol Neshama goes away or not. Anyway. So, given that the matter of holach achra zocher doesn't apply once they become gerim, and instead we're saying holach achra pogum shebishneim, what's the relevance of that? What's the nafkin mina for that, and where do we learn that? So b'mai, what's the case that we're talking about? Ilema b'mitzri shenasa amoinis. Are you talking about, for example, a man who was a ger from Mitzrayim and marries a woman from Ammon? Well, the woman from Ammon is not considered pogum at all. You're going to tell me that the child goes according to his father, so therefore the child will be a mitzvah sheni, and only his children will be a mitzvah shlishi, and mimoto love makahol. But my pogum ikka. What do you mean holochacha pogum shabishneim? What do you mean? There's no pogum here in the mother at all because I'm moini v'loy amoinis. So that you can't speak of pogum shebishnehem, implying that both of them have a pgam, and we're saying go according to the stronger pgam, because in the case of an ammonis, there's no pgam at all. She herself, as soon as she becomes a geiris, is allowed to marry a Yisrael. Ella, rather, Rabbi Yochanan is referring to the other way around. Ba'amoni shenosa mitzvus. The other way around. A man from Ammon becomes a ger, and he marries a woman, a geiris from Mitzrayim, where he, being from Ammon, he and his sons and so forth inherit that status and are never allowed lover b'kohol, only his daughters will. And the mitzvus, meanwhile, the rule will be that until three generations, they're also lover b'kohol. So is zocher havihai. So now we have, so Rabbi Yochanan is telling us like this. If the child is a boy, shadriya basri didei, then you go according to him. When it comes to boys, the Ammoni has the greater pgam because boys from Ammon are never allowed love of a kohol. So therefore, in that sense, he has the greater pgam. The inakeva havia shadriya basri didei. On the other hand, if it's a girl, then the greater pgam is in her because girls from Ammon are allowed right away, as soon as they become gerim, to marry into the Jewish people. Here, the greater pgam is in the mother, where being a mitzvah, both men and women who are gerim from Mitzrayim are also until the third generation, so therefore the daughter follows her. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan's rule means. And Rashi explains that the Gemara in Yevamos says, since it says bonim asher yivoldu lahem dor shlishi, so lahem means holoch acha psulon, means we go according to the one that is more posel. So that's why in this case, so depending whether it's a boy or a girl, if it's a boy, he's going to have the status of a he's going to have the status of an ammoni, and if it's a girl, she's going to have the status of a mitzvus. So that's what we mean. Okay, so that's that. So that covers all the cases where there are kiddushin. Now we continued in the Mishnah. The third category was kol she'ein la'olav kiddushin. The third category was where kiddushin with this woman are impossible to him, but they're mutter to somebody else. Any of the arayas shabatorah, so a man's mother or sister or daughter or any of the 20 or so arayas that I mentioned in the Torah. So we said then the rule is that the child will be a mamzer. There's two points that we derive from that. We see from that that kiddushin are not toifis with such a woman, and we see that the child is a mamzer. So the Gemara is going to ask where we know this from. Rashi explains the fact that the child is a mamzer, we actually learn from a different place. We learn with the Gemara and Yevamos learns it from the fact that the Torah says lo yikach ishes ishes aviv, and the next pasuk or two pasukim later is lo yavim mamzer b'kal Hashem. So we learn from that that a mamzer is defined as somebody who comes from an issur of arayas. So the question really over here is going to be how we know kedushin aren't tofus with them. Tosfos brings up the point that in Yevamos, when we talk about this matter of mamzerus, then we say over there, Rabbi Akiva gives the rule over there that anybody who kedushin are not tofus, the child is a mamzer. So therefore, those two things go together. Once we establish that the child of Arias is a mamzer, then automatically we know kedushin aren't tofus. Why would the Gemara need to ask that over here? So in fact, Achronim explained, I think, the Pnei Yeshua, that Rashi means over here that, yeah, we know that rule eventually from the Gemara and Yevamos. But how do we know that? Or Gemara is going to show how we find that rule. Tosfos, on the other hand, learns differently and says the question really over here is only according to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, who said that a mamzer is only from Chayv and Mrs. based in, so he says most arayas, even the child wouldn't be a mamzer, only the few that involve Mrs. based in. However, he agrees that kedushin are not tofus. For example, a man and a sister, a brother and sister, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the child would not be a mamzer because not chayv and Mrs. based in, there's only kares. However, of course, it's a given that a man can't be makadish his sister. All over the place, the Gemara says in Shas, we had it earlier in Or Masechta, Odom Yedeya Shein Kedushin Tofus in Bachoy. So a man knows full well that Kedushin are not Tofus in his sister. So Tosfos says the question would be according to Rabbi Yeshua, really. Given that according to him, you can have a case where kedushin aren't tofus, and yet the child is not a mamzer, the question is how indeed we know that kedushin are not tofus in such cases. So menahani mili, the Gemara says. So where do we know this from? So de omer b'chiyah ba'aba, omer Rabbi Yechanan, umotu ba mishmei de Rabbi Yanai. Others say that it's in the name of Rabbi Yanai. Or Rav Acha Brei Derava umotu ba mishum Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Then also Rav Acha Brei Derava says this, and some say. Rav Acha Brei Derava says that I agree that Rav Chiya Ba'aba said in the name of Rav Yechanan, but Umatu Ba, there are some people who say that it wasn't Rav Yanai, but rather Rav Yosi Agrili. Anyway, so the drasha is Omakra, the Yotzim Ibesiv Ahocha Bahoisal Ishacha. The Pasuk says when a man divorces his wife, she leaves his house and she goes and is married to another man. Vahoisa means Kedushin. Means why ish acher la'achirim v'lo the krovim. It means she can only marry the hoisa, would refer to kedushin. So it means she can only be mekodesh to achirim, not to relatives. So one of her own relatives is not able to be mekodesh. So that's how we see that kedushin are not tofus with relatives, which includes all the relatives. Therefore, and that includes even the ones, for example, her brother, where there's only an isukaris. But maskif lo Rav Abba. But Rav Abba says, why do you have to douse in the pasuk that way? The emal acher v'lo lebein. Maybe all it means is the word acher comes to exclude her ex-husband's son. So there, that's the closest relative. That's the closest relative to her. And after all, the pasuk says, well, yikach ishes aviv. A man is not allowed to marry his father's wife or ex-wife. So therefore, maybe the acher comes to exclude only him where there was missus based in. And therefore you should say that. So maybe the acher below the ben, maybe other relatives kedushin are tofus, or at least only maybe at least the ones where it's only an isukaris. The answer is ben behedik zibbe. You don't need that because for a son, for her husband's son, that he's not allowed to marry her. You have a separate pasuk lo yikach ishes eshes aviv, where it says he's not allowed to marry his father's wife. So therefore, acher lomali. So why, in the case where she gets divorced and wants to remarry, does the pasuk have to say the word acher? So it must be shmamina la'acherim v'lo l'krovim. So therefore, it must be like we said originally that it comes to exclude all the relatives because it can't just exclude that one relative who's the closest because we already have a different pasuk for that. Still, the Gemara says ve'ema aidi v'aidi leben. Maybe you could say both of them are talking about her husband's son. So the one pasuk leyikach ishes eshes aviv means that he's not allowed to begin with to be mekadesher. And the other one would be b'diyeved, that even if he was mekadesher, kedushin are not tofus. An interesting point in this, an interesting lumdisha point, is that If is there any issur in being Makadish Arayas? So certainly there's an issur to have relations with them, and then there's an issur to try to marry them and then do that. But is there an issur in the Kiddushin themselves? The Sefer HaChinuch says yes. So for example, a man who would be Makadish's sister, or in this case, a stepson, who would be Makadish's father's wife, in and of itself, he's already over on an issur. And therefore that would, so the Gemara is talking about here, Lachatchila and B'diyevet. The Minchas Chinuch discusses that over there. It doesn't really like that and has a long, interesting Lomdish discussion about that point. Is there an issue in the actual Kedushin? So the point is, we could say that both Psukim are saying, one is saying he's not allowed to be Makadisha in the first place, and if he is, he's over an Aveira. And the other one would be that even B'dievet, if he was Makadisha, it's not Tothis. So the Gemara says, you don't need that. The fact that l'hatchila you shouldn't be Makadisher, we can learn that from a Kavachomer, from his wife's sister. Uma achois isha b'koris, madach his wife's sister, where there's only koris involved, if he were to have relations with her. And yet, loy to kaddish, the Pasuk says, loy sikach, which implies you're not allowed to be Makadisher. Chayvin Mrs. Bastin, like Kolshik, and how much more so the stepson, where it was his father's wife, where there's Mrs. Bastin involved, how much more so L'Hatchila, he shouldn't be Makadisher. So once you have the Pasuk, L'Yikach Ishas Eishas Aviv, then you already know it means B'dievet. So therefore, you can say that again, like we said before, V'holcha B'hoysa L'Ish Acher includes other relatives as well. But the Gemara says, okay, well then, so then again, how do we know that Acher comes to include all, to exclude all relatives? Maybe say that it means that both Psukim, you have one Pasuk about the Isha L'choysa L'sikach, and another one that says V'holcha V'choysa L'shacher, both of them maybe are referring to Achos Isha, V'Achos Isha, again, maybe as one is saying he's not allowed to be Makadish or L'chatchila, and the other one is saying that B'diyevet, if he did, the Kedushin are not Chal. But how do you know that L'ish Acher includes other relatives that Kedushin aren't Toifis? So the Gemara answer is Einochanami. In fact, you could say that way. In that case, you could say that fine. You say that it applies to Achos Isha. Shad Arayis Minola. And how do we know that it applies to other Arayis? Yafin and Me'achos Isha. Because we can learn them by a Mamotzinu from Achos Isha. Ma Achos Isha Miyuchedes. What's special about Achos Isha? Shehi Erva. She is an Erva. In fact, the Torah explicitly mentions the word Erva in her connection. V'isha L'chos L'sika L'tzura L'galas Ervosa. And if a man marries or has relations with his wife's sister, b'mezid is going to be chayiv koris. There's no missus basin involved. And if he does it, b'shoyig is bringing a chatas. V'loy tafsi b'kedushin. And we've established kedushin aren't tofus because the pasuk says the isha l'chosa loy sikach, which means you're not allowed to be makadisher. And we said even you want to say maybe that means l'chatchila, and the other pasuk v'yotzav aholcha v'yosil ish acher means b'dieved, so fine. But the fact is, kedushin aren't tofus. Af kol shehi erva v'chayovin al zdoin akoris v'ashur gosachatas. Well, then any other case where a woman is an erva to a man, and there would be koris b'mezin and a chatas b'shoigig, which includes all the arayas, loy tapsi b'kedushin. Then kedushin aren't going to be tofus. So fine, we can learn it by a mamotzinu from her, even if you say the pasuk is referring only to her. But the Gemara asks, v'shlema kulu asyon. Well, fine, you can learn most of the arayas in that way. Ela Ashes Ish Vashes Och, but when it comes to two of the Arias, an Ashes Ish and a brother's wife, then you have a problem. Ikal Mifrach, you could slug up that Mamotzinu regarding them. Mala Achois Isha, She'ema Heter Bemkaim Mitzvah, because in the case of Ashes Och, you can say, when it comes to Achois Isha, there's never an exception to it for Mitzvah. Meaning, even if there's a mitzvah of Yibum, you don't say that it overrides the issur of Achos Ishtim. We had many, many cases in Yibamus where, for example, two brothers are married to two sisters, where now one of the brothers dies. We don't say that the surviving brother does Yibum with the almana because she's his wife's sister. And we don't say that the mitzvah of Yibum overrides that. So toma be'eshes och sheyesh lahetu b'mkayim mitzvah. How do you compare to ach to eshes och where there's a mitzvah of yibum and she's not otherwise related to him? Usually, a brother's wife would be an erva, but here we're making an exception and saying that she's allowed that he's allowed to marry her. So therefore, you can slug up the mamot sinu. So you could say then maybe even an eshes och, maybe kedushin would be tofus. And Eishas Ish Nami Ikalam Mifrach. And as far as the Eishas Ish, you could also slog up the Mamatzinu. Malahanach Shekein Eima Heter B'chaye Oistran. Because you know what? When it comes to Achois Isha, there's no heter while the one who made her osir is alive. Because if a man is married to a woman, as long as that woman is alive, even if he divorces her, he's osir to marry her sister. Only when she dies is he mutter. So how do you compare an Eishas Ish, after all, can become mutter while the one who made her also is alive? Namely, why is she also? Because she's married to Pliny. If Pliny dies, or if Pliny divorces her, rather, he's still very much alive, and yet she's allowed to marry somebody else. So therefore, so you can't say you're learning from a Mamotzinu from Achois Ishtoi that all other Arayis Kedushin are not Toifas, because then you have two exceptions to that. Ela, Omer of Yoinavi, Tamer of Hunabred of Yeshua, here's another way. Omer Kro, the Pasuk says at the end of the section of Arayas, it says, Ki Kolasho Yas, it says, Kolasho Yasa, Mikola Te Eves Ha'ela, Venichrasu, anybody who does any of these disgusting things, any of these 20 or so Arayas, then they're going to get Kores. And one of the ones that it mentions in that parasha is Achois Ishta. Therefore, Hukshu Kol Arayas Kolum La'Achois Isha. So it's not a matter of a Mamotzinu, which we can shlog up. It's a matter of a Hekish, that the Torah is explicitly comparing all of them. And we have a rule, Ein Meshivin Ala Hekish. You can't shlog up a Hekish just because you find differences between them. So all of them are compared to Achois Isha. Ma Achois Isha Le'tafsiba Kedushin. Just like an Achois Isha Kedushin will not be Toifus, as we just established. Af Kol Arayas Kulam Le'tafsiba Kedushin. The same thing will apply to all other Arayas that Kedushin aren't Toifus. Okay, well, the Gemara asks, Ihochi Afilo Nida Nami. Well, by that logic, then, a Nida should also be included. After all, a Nida is also mentioned in the parasha of Arayas, that you're not allowed to have relations with her. Then we should say that if a man was Makadish of a woman when she's a Nida, it shouldn't be a valid Kedushin. And that if he later on he has relations with her when she's a Nida, then the child should be a Mamzer. Aloma Omer Abaya. So why does Abaya say Hakol Moedim Abalam Nida Bala Sota Sheina Vlad Mamzer? Everybody agrees that if a man has relations with a Nida or with a Sota, then the child is not a Mamzer. Now, even though again we have the different opinions that we said before, we have when the Reb Shimon Atimni had said anytime there's Chayiv Krisus, the child is a Mamzer. He would agree that even though a Nida is Chayiv Kardis, nevertheless the child is not a Mamzer. Reb Akiva had said that any Chayiv Lavin produce a Mamzer. He would agree with a Sota that even though there's an Isser Lav for the husband to have after Kinui and Stira, there's an Isser Lav for her husband to have relations with her. Nevertheless, he says that the child wouldn't be a mamzer. So why not? If you say, at least as far as the Nida, she's mentioned in the parasha of Arayas. If you're saying you have a hekish between all Arayas, then you would say that it applies to that also. So why is Abaya saying that it does not? So the answer is Amar Chizki, Amar Kro, Ushi Nidasa Olav. Yes, but you have a different pasuk about a nida that says, "Who nida shall be on him." The context of the pasuk is a man has relations with a nida; he becomes tomei like she, he's called a boil nida, and he has a certain degree of tumah much like her. However, the word in the pasuk Ushi is the same shodash as the word Bahoisa that we said before, which refers to kedushin. Afilu b'shas nida tehei b'habaya. Means even when she's a Nida, the concept of Havaya, the concept of Kiddushin, still applies. So therefore, Kiddushin are Toifas in her, and therefore the child is not a Mamzer. Now the Rambam does mention, by the way, and this is brought Lahalocha, that it's best not to be Makadish and Nida, and we have nowadays, we try to avoid Chopas Nida whenever possible, but if we can't help it, we can't help it. But where does the Rambam get that? It's best not to, Mephoshim discuss. Does the Rambam mean maybe based on our Gemara, that even though we're saying that Kedushin are Toifus, maybe it's not the proper thing to do, or maybe the Rama means only an Isur Dirabana. Anyway, okay, so the Gemara says, well, Mechdi, well, let's consider then. So you're telling me now that among the Arayas, you have a Chois Isha where Kedushin aren't Toifus. On the other hand, you're telling me among the Arayas, you have Nida where Kedushin are Toifus. Now you have to talk about what about all the other 19 or so arayas? Well, mechti ikala kusha the nidav ikala kusha la achos isha. Well, now the other arayas. You could compare. You have a hekesh at the end. Ki kol asher yasa mikoyla to evas eila. The pasuk is putting them all in one category. So you could say that you're making a hekesh to nida and saying that kedushin should be tofus with all the others. You could compare them to achos isha and say it's not. So my chosis to makris luhula achos isha actually nida. Why are you making the comparison with achos isha and saying kedushin aren't tofus by any of the other arayas and that nida is the only exception? Why not do the other way around? Actually nida, make the hekesh with nida and say that just like kedushin are tofus with a nida, the same way with tofus with most of them except for achos isha. The answer is, as the Gemara says, we often have the rule. When we have a choice with a hekesh, whether to make the hekesh and it results from it a kula or it results from it a chumra, then we're going to go lachumra and say the child is going to be a mamzer and kedushin aren't tofus. Rashi points out, after all, those two things do go together. Ultimately, the halacha is whenever there's no kedushin, then the child is a mamzer. So therefore, so we go to Chumra. It's true. We could have compared it to Nida, but that's not how a Hekesh works. Part of the rules of Hekesh are that we go to Chumra wherever possible. And Tosfos points out, now there is a certain degree of Kula in it, because if we say that Kedushin are Tofus in her, then it means you have a Chumra that she can't marry anybody else. If you say Kedushin aren't Tofus, it still means she's free to marry anybody else. But the point is you have the Chumra that Kedushin are not Tofus, and therefore the child's a Mamzer. That's considered the greater Chumra. So all of that is one way of learning it, that we see that whenever kedushin that with all arayas kedushin aren't tofus. All of this is one way of learning it. So for the same reason, in other words, again, we could have compared to Nida and say that if Kedushin are tofus, she's also to everybody else, but the greater Chumra is that the child is a mamzer, and so that's how we leave it. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with more ways, with another way of learning how we see that Kedushin aren't tofus with our eyes.
Yeah.
Shreyach, everyone.